RT class 2023. We're discussing Radharas Sudaniti and the commentaries of Madhusudan Adhikari and Prabhupada Nanagopal Goswami, and mostly of Sri Anantadas Babaji Maharaj on the Radharas Sudaniti by Prabhupada Saraswati, discussing the glories of Radharani and Krishna and the Manjaris and Sakis. We're on new verse 101, and this verse describes different qualities of Radharani, and a prayer. This prayer, the sadhaka is praying to see Radharani, to see her beautiful form. Swam Rupam Avishkuru, please reveal, show your beautiful form. Charubali means youthful girl, beautiful youthful girl. So let's read in Sanskrit. Snigdha Kunchita Nila Keshi Vida Lad Bimboshti Chandanane Kelat Kanjana Ganjanakshi Ruchiman Nasagra Mukti Phale Pina Shoni Tanudari Sanatati Rita Chatat Yadute Sri Radhe Bhujavali Charu Balaye Sanrupa Mavishkaro. Translation. The Sakya Manjari is praying in Sadhak Rupa or Siddharupa, we can be either one, but it seems that he's praying to see the form that Sadhak Rupa, because if you're near Siddharupa, if you're a Siddhadeva, you're near Siddharupa, then you have darshan of Radha and Krishna at the level of bhava and praying. So it's Sadhguru, he's praying, O Radharani, you have glossy, curly, dark, bluish-black hair. You have bimba fruit, red light lips. You have a moon-like face whose eyes defeat the playfulness of skittish wagtail birds. There's a nice pearl, Nasika Mukti, at the tip of your nose, Nasagra Mukta. And you have a large, broad hips and large buttocks, and you have a slender waist, and wonderful round breasts, and beautiful vine-like arms, beautified by bangles. O Radharani, please reveal your beautiful form to me. So, very many Sanskrit words describing more of Radha. This is called Rup Dhyan, meditation on the Rup Dhyan of Radharani. Her face, arms, most of her bodily parts, transcendental divine form. Snigdha Kunchita Nilakeshi. Nila means blue, it's bluish black. Because the Charasic Jhanas say, Radharani's always thinking of Krishna. She's always thinking of how to serve Krishna in many different ways. So her thoughts take the shape of hair. Because thoughts are usually going up on here, up on the top of the head. So thoughts come out of her head as bluish black hair. Because she's thinking of Shyam. And Shyam is bluish black. Actually, Shyam is, his hair is a little reddish-black. You read in the Dhammadharastagam, there's one verse that said, Raktaishagopya. What does it say? It's in Dhammadharastagam, he's singing every day, I can't. It says, Krishna's crying, rubbing his hands, rubbing his eyes, and the cudgels running down his face, and his hair is, his black hair is shining with a reddish glow, right touch. Anyway, So Snigdha Kunshi Nilakeshi. Nilakeshi means bluish. Bluish. The hair is Radharani is black, has a bluish tinge, Sham color, because she's always thinking of Nilamani Sri Krishna. And her lips are like bimba fruits. This is translated as cherry. If you see a picture, it doesn't look like cherry. It looks kind of orange-red. You can look on Google search and see the color of bimba fruit. It's kind of orangey-red. It grows in Vrindavan. And her anane is, face is like the moon. It's glowing like the moon. It's soothing like the moon. It's romantic like the moon. And it's comforting like the moon. So it has all these qualities of the moon, minus spots. But Radharani's moonlike face also has spots, and Natadas Babaji reveal how Radharani's pure moon, spotless, they say, spotless moonlike face gets spots. Because the quote-unquote man in the moon is not a man at all. It's a rabbit. Rabbit in the moon. That's everywhere in Sanskrit describes Shashi. Shashi, there's a verse in Gita, Rasvam Avsakuntaya Prabhasmi, Prabhasmi Shashi Surya. Prabha, you're the light of the sun and the moon. Surya is sun, and Shashi is moon, and Shashi is a Sanskrit word for rabbit. So the moon, the guy, the little black guy in the moon eating a cheese or whatever, the black guy there in the moon is a side view, profile, side profile of his long body and two ears sticking up. You see it in 2 weeks or so, full moon. So her face like the moon, but without spots, but also with spots. So how can you be without spots? How can you be a spotless moonlike face that also has spots? That secret is revealed in this commentary. Because someone might criticize, do you compare Radharani's face to a moon? You can't, because the moon has spots. But there's a rustic understanding of that. Kailat Kanjana Kanjanakshi, your akshi, your eyes are skittish and look restless like the eyes of a Kanjan bird, and playful. Kailana. In Hindi, Kailat means play. Kailana is play in Hindi. Kailat Kanjana Kanjanakshi, Ruchiman Nasagri Muktafale. She has a mukta, she has a pearl on the tip of her nose. Nas, this is the Nas. Nasagri Muktafale. That pearl on the tip of her nose looks like So the Muktafali means a girl with a pearl. That's interesting. A girl with a pearl on the tip of her nose. That looks Ruchima. It looks very tasty. It's very tasty for Krishna. When Krishna sees that pearl hanging under Radharani's nose, he wants to bite it. He thinks it's a drop of honey dropping from a lotus, golden lotus flower. And that Madhusudan Bumblebee wants to come and kiss Radharani's lips and take that drop of honey from her nose pearl. It's just a metaphor that the kavis explain this way. Krishna doesn't eat nose pearls, by the way, but it's just an idea of some poetic imagery. Pinashoni Tanudari Stanatati. This is describing Radharani's, her pina and shoni. Shoni means buttocks, derriere, her rear portion of her body. It's, pina means big. And Tanu Udari, Udara means waist. Damodar, rope is Dhamma, and Udara's waist, and Yashoda bound him with a rope. And he became known as Damodar. And there's another form of Damodar called Nividamodar. Nividamodar is described in Brahmavivar Purana. And Nividamodar is bound by the rope of Radharani's petticoat. That's real tough binding. That's real convincing, contrary mood. Your girlfriend takes the robe off her petticoat and ties it around your waist. We can only wonder what's going to happen. But it says that Krishna came late to the kunja, and Radharani tied him to a tamal tree with a rope from her nivi. Nivi means the rope that ties the knot in the rope that ties the petticoat or slip or undergarments of a lady's dress. So that's called Nividamodar. Since Shastra, I didn't make it up. Although you may think I did. I didn't. It's in Brahmavivar Purana. And there's also a pastime, someone sent me Hari Parashad translated from Brihad Vamana Purana or somewhere. They Radharani tied him up with some vines or something. I sent it to you, I think. Yeah, I did. No, I didn't. I think I did. Oh, I did. Anyway, I sent it to a couple of people. I didn't send it to everybody. I get tired, so I sent it to a couple of people. So this is Radharani's situation here. Her beautiful waist, slender waist. And it describes her stan. Her breasts are very full and very beautiful, amazing. She said, amazing girl. And Vritta Chati Adbhuta. There we go, Chati, Chati, Chavi, Jyoti. Prakashananda Saraswati, he was Prabhupada Saraswati, always describes the light, the Brahman, the Jyoti, the Chati, the Chavi. He's really preoccupied with that adjective. It's translated here as aura, halo, radiance. So it says her, she's very beautiful, a beautiful radiance. She's Adbhuta. And she has amazing bhuja, bhuta bhuja vali charu. Beautiful and thin, creeper-like thin arms. So that's quite a contrast of different shapes and thicknesses and sizes, from her breast to her backside and her arms and her thighs are compared to banana trees and different beautiful parts of which make Radharani's divine form irresistibly attractive and pleasing to Krishna's heart and mind and eyes. So that's word for word meaning. So the translation is, we read that already. So the nice point that Nadas Bhavaji brings out in his commentary, the first point he brings out, that how can the qualities of being crooked, restless, and hard, crooked, restless, if someone you describe someone, that guy is very crooked, it's not a very good compliment. Or a guy's restless, he's chancel, he doesn't fix himself one place. Or he's hard-hearted. So these are usually negative words, how the general idea in the material world consideration, being crooked, restless, and hard, and behavior or dealings or heart is not appreciated. But in the spiritual world, what's bad in the material world is good in the spiritual world. So let's hear how he describes it. The Manjari prays to Radhi to reveal her form, which has just finished her Rati Keli, her love games. And at that time, the Manjari observes Radharani, which the beauty at that time is extremely at a high pitch, a high degree of effulgence and attractiveness. And he says, oh girl, oh Balaye, Balaye means Avala, 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 or Balaye, oh girl, Oh, youthful girl, youthful lady, you can say. You have curly, glossy, bluish black hair. So, how beautiful your hair braid looks when Krishna opens it during your love sports. It looks much more beautiful than when it's nicely braided. In other books, they describe when the peacocks see Radharani's loosened hair in the Kunja Lila, they go and hide in the caves in Govardhan out of embarrassment of their tail feathers. Now, peacock, the male peacock has very long and wide tail feathers. Now, he dances, it covers 360 degrees when he fans him out, or 180 or whatever. It's a big fan. And so when he sees Radharani's hair hanging down to her thighs, comes to her mid-thighs, she says, oh, forget it. My tail is nothing. Radharani's tail is better than mine. It's more attractive, more shiny, and more satisfying to Krishna. Krishna likes my peacock feathers. He puts them in his hair and his in turban and whatnot. But doesn't like my tail feathers as much as Radharani's open hair braid. So the rasic bhaktas can understand such statements, but for others, such realizations remain invisible, or shut, said. Krishna's Kaviraj describes Radharani and Govinda Lilamrita, 11th chapter, 122 verse. Radharani's hair is crooked, brackets curly. So crooked, if someone's crooked, it's not good. If you have crooked hair, it's good. Radharani is crooked, rack is curly. They're trying to make some comparison here. That's what Nanda's trying to show, that being crooked, restless, and hard are not appreciated in the material world, but in the spiritual world are great assets. Radharani is crooked, restless, and hard. Crooked, what's crooked about Radharani? All your hair. That's there's in... Yes. Ananda Vrindavan Champu, there's a very nice description of Nandagram. It describes the Nandakunvasis and the language that they speak to each other. And he said, when they're speaking about crooked, because there's no crooked people in Nandagram, they're speaking about someone with curly hair. And it's very nice. He takes a word which has an ordinary meaning, he gives a definition, and describes how does that apply to Nandagram Vasis? How does it apply to Krishna's Nitya Parishad? Very unique and poetic and talented, innovative description of the language they use. He said, there's like kapat means cheating, but this word is never used in Nandagram because no one cheats, except the guy who lives in the palace with Nanda Maharaj. But they don't know about that. That's at midnight, everyone's sleeping. She got everybody's wife. But no one, he says, Kapat means cheating. Kapat Raj, Kapendra, Kapat Raj, Sri Krishna Ki. Right. So no one's a cheater here in this then, in Brajmandal. Now it's a different story, but then it was Yogamaya Braj, now it's Mahamaya on top of Yogamaya. So you have to throw off the Yogamaya have to throw off the Mahamaya to get to the essence of love and sweetness and all good things in Vrindavan. That takes some bhajan and some mercy. And so that's her hair is crooked and her eyes are restless compared to Kanjanakshi, her eyes are Kanjan Ganjan. Ganjan means defeat. Her eyes are more restless than a Kanjan bird. So being chancha is good if your eyes are like that and your Krishna's beloved. And being hard, of course, is not appreciated. But if you're a gopi like Radharani, her breasts are described as hard. So that's good, because this way they can they're hard for the sake of fulfilling all of Hari's desires. No one else but Radharani can fulfill Krishna's desires with her crookedness, restlessness, and hardness, which are generally considered faults. But with Radharani, such qualities being placed at strategic—that's a funny word—such qualities being found at strategic places, she alone manages to satisfy all of Hari's desires and make him most happy. That's really interesting language describing Radharani and Krishna. Words like strategy and strategic. I would have chosen a different word, but that's what we're seeing here. Language is difficult to present properly. So that's the first point. And then that's the main point, these qualities, how they're assets and highly appreciated by Krishna in the spiritual world. But Krishna doesn't appreciate crooked, cheating people, restless, unsteady people, or hard-hearted people. He doesn't have any room for such people. Nor does Brajmandal. The holy name doesn't like such people either. So, now the next point he makes about Radharani's lips. Radharani's bimba fruit-like lips just like a bee bites a red banduga flower to get honey out of it, so Hari bites Radhika's lips with his teeth when he enjoys with her. So he gets some honey out of there, I guess. I don't know. That's what the idea is. The maidservants love to witness this scene. What is the scene? The scene is Krishna biting Radharani's lips. I think they like probably more to see Radharani bite Krishna's lips. We'll see it like that. If I was a Manjari, I prefer to see that. Because generally, as we said yesterday, Radhika's happiness is Krishna's happiness. And Krishna's happiness is Radharani's happiness. And what is the Manjari's happiness? Because by logic, you'll say, the Manjaris are happy if Radha and Krishna are both happy. But that's not the answer. The answer is the Manjaris are happy if they see Radharani comes out victorious and superior and greater than Krishna. So when you see Krishna biting, we say, oh, that's not nice. Everybody says it's nice. It's nice because Krishna's happy and Radharani's happy to make Krishna happy. So the Manjaris are happy. But I like to see more Radharani biting his lips. So it's a different subjective view depending on what the Manjari feels about the situation. So now Ananta Swamiji describes this word which he hinted at in our introduction. Word in the verse is Chandanane. Anane means face, and we discussed already Ruchiranana. The face is described in Bhagavatam about Rukmini, when she came out of Chandrabhaga temple, her face was Ruchiranane, very tasty, very sweet and attractive, and so beautiful her form and face were, especially her face, that the suitors, the kings and princesses that came for a Swayamvar, they fell off their horses. So let's see what happens to Krishna when he sees a moon-like face of Radharani. So he describes Radharani's face, so the question we're asking is, why is Radharani's face compared to the moon? Ananta Swamiji says, Radharani's face is generally compared to a spotless moon, but here it must be understood she's a spotted moon. Why? It's interesting how it comes about here, kind of roundabout way she gets that title of face being spotted. Why is it she referred to as spotted moon? Because Shyamasundara thinks Radharani's eyes are very beautiful. And he, because they're so beautiful and attractive, he kisses them. But surrounding Radharani's eyes is black cudgel. We say mascara, whatever, I don't know what it's called. Cudgel around her eyes, or anjan or whatever.
Carillium,
in English. Oh yeah, English they say carillium. I don't even know women know what that word is. They put on their, everybody puts it on their eyes. We ask, what's that for your eyes? Only somebody who produces books and works on books will know that. Carillium. That's in the dictionary. I agree. I agree, but I think if you ask any woman, or the 1 billion Indian women in this subcontinent, do you know that black stuff around your circling eyes called carillium? What? Kajo. So Krishna kisses Radharani's lips, and when Radharani sees this, it looks a little funny, you know. Black lips is not the most attractive thing, but this is full of prema and love, so it's the most attractive form of lips. So Radharani smiles because it's funny. And Krishna sees that there's nectar dripping from Radharani's smile, so then Krishna drinks that nectar with the cups of his lips. So then the eyeliner sticks on Radharani's cheek and also her lips also. In this way, Radhika's face looks like a spotted moon with the spots of Krishna's black lipstick. Black lipstick. I never seen that in a shade of lipstick. Maybe some punk rockers have black lipstick. That makes sense. You know. Diamonds on your teeth, a rat in your pocketbook, and black lips. I was on Sangerton in San Francisco selling books, and I gave a book to a lady. She said, well, you want a donation? I said, yeah, that's what we're doing out here. We got these books. They went, okay, I gave a donation. So she opened her pocketbook, she got a rat. So he had it, and I said, no, I have two already. You should get another one, keep a friend. You know, she made a joke, I made a joke on her back. Sangerton guys are good on lines, you know, good comeback. You have to be, otherwise you can't sell. So now that's the moon, Chandrani, Radharani. And, okay, this is the end of it says in the Sanskrit poetics, Kavya Shastra, all drama ends on a sweet note. The hero or heroine, the Nayak or Nayak in a drama, Indian Sanskrit, traditional Vedic drama, is never shot with a machine gun in the last scene of the drama. But modern Western movies and Indian movies in Bombay, the hero is the hero of the whole movie, and then he gets killed at the last scene. That's not too much appreciated. Indian sentiments. Western people rather like that. They have a perverted sense of what's good and what's bad. But in some special pastimes, rustic devotees can see how Radharani's eyes defeat the fickleness of white-tailed birds, how big her buttocks are, and how a pearl hangs from the tip of her nose, how slender her waist is. But all this must be spiritually experienced and cannot be expressed with words. So it's called Parokshavat. There's an implied meaning here, Vyanjana Stuti. Implied, you can read between the lines and kind of put the things together and try to understand. If you can, if you can't, no problem. So he concludes the verse as usual with a prayer. Please reveal this particular transcendental form to me, which I describe. I describe specifically, like some people generically may desire, oh Krishna, I want your darshan. That's a good desire. Oh Radharani, I want your darshan. Oh Radhagavinda Yugal, I long and aspire to have your darshan. Please give me the eyes to have darshan. Some devotees when they see the sun planet every day, they remember Surya Kunda and Surya Puja. Radharani is a Surya Upasika, and her father, Vrishabhanu Maharaj, is named after the sun, Bhanu. And Bhanu Nandini is the daughter of the worshipper of the sun. Sun's name is Bhanu. Bhanu is Bhaskara Bhanu, Mitra, so many names for the sun, Aditya. So when devotees see the sun planet, they pray to Surya Deva and Surya Narayan Bhagavan. They pray, oh, you're the sun, you can show up the world, you can show different things. Please give me the eyes to have darshan this life of Ramakrishna. You're controlling the eyes, you're controlling vision, so you're, and you're Bhagavan on top of that. So you're Bhagavan Narayan, you live there in Chaturbhuj form on Surya Loka, being worshipped by Surya Dev, the Devata. So you're very powerful, you have all the power of Hari. So I have a sankalpa prayer. Please, with your sun rays, give me a darshan of Madhyan Lila of Radha Krishna Yuga, Radha Govinda Yuga to be exact. So that's sometimes said. So the Manjari is praying, I want to see, so when we desire to see Radharani, desire to see Krishna, we should have a particular form we meditate on. And one purport of Gita, Prabhupada's talking, maybe sixth chapter, is talking about meditation. And he said, for devotees, devotees prefer to see the form of Shama Sundara in their meditation. He didn't say Krishna, he said Shama Sundara, beautiful Shama Sundara, which is a special form of Krishna and Vrindavan. Because the form of Krishna is everywhere, but Shama Sundara especially in Vrindavan. Hari is everywhere, but Shama Sundara is Vrindavan. Gopinath is Vrindavan. Ganesham is Vrindavan. The different names are there. Raman Bihari is Vrindavan. Krishna has Raman Bihari is Vrindavan. So he has the Sekhi Manjari is praying, I want to see your red lips. I want to see your moon-like face. I want to see your whole form, your arms, everything, your nose, pearl. This is what I want to see. I have a very specific meditation called Rup Dhyan. I want to see you. No, I want to see you like this. Krishna, do you want to see Krishna with a pagri or a turban or no, nothing? You have three choices. Just hair and peacock feather? Or a mukut, crown with a peacock feather? Or a turban with a peacock feather? Which one? Yes, adjust your dial, you know. I'll take anything. No. Anything means nothing. You eat anything? No, you eat what you like. What's what you feel is healthy and satisfying, that's what you put together. So what Krishna are you want to see? That'd be an interesting GSS meeting discussion. Go around the room and say, what's the form of Krishna you want to see? So he ends it like this, please show this beautiful form, which is a form that's revealed after Rati Kali in the Kunja with Krishna. That's what's being described in this verse, and ends up on a very interesting form of that Rati Kali Lila to meditate on. And so he wants to see this form. He wants to see a form of Radharani. All these beautiful descriptions of Radharani's body are always there, everywhere, wherever she is. But this particular one, how her hair has a certain gloss to it, snigdha nilakeshi. Like this particular feature, all these different nuances of her bodily beauty are revealed most attractively and most fully at the time of Kunjalila with Krishna. Because when you're with your beloved, your beauty comes out maximum. You may be beautiful, very beautiful. Radharani is the most beautiful female personality in all the universes. But when she's with Krishna, her beauty expands millions of times. Beauty, love is like a catalyst to ignite the flame of beauty. It just shoots off like anything. When someone is with someone they love, they look so beautiful. Their eyes are restless, they look better, look more bigger and beautiful. And hair, everything takes on a sheen, a snigdha, a shine. Snigdha means shiny affection. Snigdha is also connected to sneha. Sneha and snigdha, they're connected because affection flows like oil. So sneha, snigdha means oily. Snigdha means oily. So it means oil, or hair is oil with affection. So it's shiny. We put hair, oil on her hair, it looks shiny. So her hair is shining and radiant and glossy with the oil of love. Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. So I was reviewing the verses we covered so far up to 101, and I wrote a list here of different things. That in various verses, Shripad Prabhupada Saraswati and Manjari Bhav, he's been praying for has different sankalpas and intentions and desires to be fulfilled by Radharani. So he prays, "Oh Radharani, please do this, please do that." So he says, please bless me with your seva, please bless me with your love, please bless me with acceptance in your group. Please let me see. What's the other one? Oh, please, yesterday was please protect me, Patu, may Patu Radhi. Radhani, please protect me from Maya, from Mahamaya, and absorb me in Yogamaya. So I was praying for seva, for love, for acceptance, for protection, and here praying to see a beautiful form. So his prayers are quite variegated. It's called Chitra Prarthana, variegated types of prayers. They all have the same objective, darshan of Radharani, and he's reinforcing that darshan and the prayers in different ways. Any prayer that you beg for ends up being directly in association with Radharani. Seva, you was Radharani. Love, you was Radharani. Acceptance in the group, you was Radharani. Seeing a beautiful form, you was Radharani. And be protected, you was Radharani. So ultimately his prayer is, Radharani, I want to be with you, everything with you, all the time. So these are good desires. Desiring to see Krishna, desiring to love Krishna, and associate with Krishna, and please, one with the seva is the sum and substance of bhakti bhajan. Some people say don't desire, but there's Goswami, none of our books to pray like that or describe that. Desire is an active part of bhakti bhajan. It's called sankalpa, establishing your desire, your intention. What purpose? What is the purpose of everything we're doing? To attain praying means to see my beloved Krishna Radharani and serve them. So that's that verse. We read another translation. Our god brother Dasara Sutta is pretty. Vaitadas called Dasara Sutta the Prabhupada Saraswati of the English speaking world. Because Prabhupada Saraswati used the extreme adjectives. He uses so many adjectives to describe Radharani. This and that, and this and that. So this Dasara Sutta has a great flair for English language. So he tried to make the English like the Sanskrit poetry, with lots of rich and variegated descriptions of Radharani's name, form, qualities, etc. So we'll get a sample of it now. This is translation 101. That was 101. That was. That was. What was that? No, I think I lost my video. That was 101. It had a different verse. Oh, 101. Oh, yeah, okay. Radharani's hair is glossy, curly, and blue-black. And he says, Radharani has luscious cherry lips, a moon face one, oh frisky-eyed one, defeating the playful white-tailed bird, oh you whose nose is decorated with an attractive pearl. One has such broad hips. One has such a slender waist. Oh, you who possesses the most astonishing aura of perfectly round breast borders. That's an amazing way to describe. Radhe, oh you whose divine creeper-like arms are decorated with lovely bangles, kindly reveal your own beautiful form to me. Oh, it's basically the same, but a little different style of English. This further enhances our appreciation of Radharani. So now we're on text 103 of Radharasudhaniti. This is Shardula Vikritita Chandas. Shardula Vikritita Chandas is the same as the six Goswami prayers. Shardula Vikritita, I don't know what that word means, but it has some meaning. Salavanya Chamat Kriter Nava Vayo Rupam Chatan Mohanam Tatat Keli Kalavilasalahari Chaturyam Ashayabhu Na Kinchit Kritam Eva Yachanut Nanutir Nang Nago Navasambramo Radha Madhavayo Sikho Pisahaja Premotsava Patuwa. Patu, the word Patu was there before also, means protect. Translation. May the unrivaled natural love festival of Radha Madhava, in which they astonish each other with the beauty of their young, enchanting adolescent forms that carries waves of amazing cleverness and artful love plays, where there is not even the slightest breach of reverence, offense, or awe, protect you all. So here he's praying for wa, plural, protect you all. Two verses ago, he was praying for personal protection for Radharani. Now he's being a little more Adarya, spreading compassion to others and praying that these Radha Madhava will give their protection to everyone, all bhaktas. So I'll look at it word for word, see what beautiful Sanskrit is there. Lavanya Chamatkara Navavayas Rupam. Radharani's form is at the juncture of teenagehood and adulthood. It's called adolescence, called Vayasandhi. Sandhi means a meeting place, a juncture, the joining point. And at this time, her beauty is effulgently radiant, Lavanya, and wonderful Chamatkara. So it's very nice Sanskrit to describe Radharani's rupam. Lavanya chamat kritir navavayo rupam. Tanmohanam. It's so beautiful that it's enchanting. It enchants Mohan. Krishna becomes Mohan. May see Radharani. Tat tat keli kala vilasa lahari. Waves. Lahari means waves. Ways of artistic pastimes and intimate love dalliance are always arising from Radharani. Tat keli, artful play and different intimate leelas. Chaturya Mascharya Bhu. That's Chaturya means clever, chatur. Ascharya means astonishment. It almost sounds like the word astonishment in English is ascharya. She is a source of astonishingly amazing cleverness. And then it says, Kinsha Kritam. And she is totally separate, Kinsha Kritam. She has no connection with any kind of official rules and regulations type bhakti. Nuti, nuti means not, nuti and nati means the same. There's a Sudga Swami Astakam, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Nativi. Nativi, this describes the sadhana of Rupa and Six Goswamis, what they did in Sadhguru, this regular shoka of the Goswami Astakam. Sankhya Purvaka Nama, they chant a fixed number of names and chant a fixed number of Astakams and prayers. Purvaka Nama Gana Gana. Gana Natavi. Natavi means they offered a fixed number of Dandavat basins, what we call Namaskar basins. Natavi means humility, means basins, usually it means respect. So Das Goswami is famous as being an exemplar of humility. He had over 3,000 Natavis a day, 3,555s. 3,000 dandavats every day, and 2,000 of Tagarji and 1,000 of Vaishnavas, like this, some numbers there. 3,000, that'll keep you healthy. 3,000 dandavats keep you in good shape. But that wasn't the idea, it wasn't a health expression, but the expression of the utmost submission and humility, and Sharanagati, taking shelter of the great Acharyas by their remembrance and offering the body in their service, and remembering the great Leela Salis and forms of Krishna throughout Vrindavan Leela, offering obeisance to them, and showing honor to the Thakurjis of his fellow Goswamis. He offered one obeisance to Madan Mohan, one obeisance to Govindaji, one obeisance to Madame Gopal, who's also called Madame Mohan. One obeisance to Radha Raman, like this, Gopinath, etc. This is his daily practice every day, without fail, winter, summer, spring. So Radharani is, this is obeisances, offenses, reverence, sambrahma. Sambrahma means very much respectful. She's not, she's beyond that, because she's absorbed in sahaja prem. Sahaja prem, the often common word we hear these days, everyone's pointing a finger and giving a tag to a person. See that person? She's a sahajiya. He's a sahajiya. Sahajiya. Sahajiya means natural. It's considered to be a insult, but actually it's the highest compliment. The sahaja means natural. It's natural to love someone, but the one is the Atma, and the sum is Krishna. The sum total, the summum bonum is Krishna. So we should love man wants to love some woman, and a woman wants to love some man, but we should love someone, the Atma, Krishna, Paramatma, and that's the somebody we should love. So he describes that in the commentary. What is sahaja prem? Prem is like people say, what's wrong with having a girlfriend and partying? It's natural. Oh, she's a woman, a man, it's natural. Yeah, it's natural, I agree. But it's not that much fulfilling ultimately. It has to end sometime. But there is a natural, you're talking about natural love, natural relationship, natural feelings, natural experience. I agree with everything you're saying. It's just your object of your love is wrong. It's not wrong, but it's limited. It's right for you, and it's right at this time in your life. It's perfect, okay. But you could get something more if you tried. You get something higher, something permanent, something lasting, something eternal. Really? Yeah, you can be an eternal sahajiya. You get a Sahajya Swarup. So he said, you're a Sahajya. Really? Will you bless me? I'm a Sahajya forever? Like some people, they say that to me, you know. Some of my former friends, quote unquote. I say, that's nice, thank you. Will you bless me? I become a full 100% Sahajya. I'm thinking what it means one thing, they're thinking another thing. And they go away and say, I met this guy, he does Baba, he's like crazy, you know. He asked for a blessing to become a Pakasashi. Never take an insult, everything is positive. God is good, everything is good, everything is no tension. You insulted me, I'm too old for that stuff. I've been through too much, you know. The dogs may bark, but the wedding party will pass. Big drums, guys on a big horse chewing a big wad of pond. The dog, whoa, whoa, whoa. I shouted a wedding coming through Radhakund, and the wedding party went through, the guys on the horse, all drums beating, and loud music blasting, and people dancing, everyone intoxicated, all the men were intoxicated. And some dog goes, whoa, whoa, the guy's on his horse, and he's in his saddle, he just lifted his foot, gave a swift kick to the dog, right in the jaw. He shot and ran away with his tail between his legs, whoa. That was the end of his song. So let's see what this Swarupa is going to reveal about Sahajya Prem, natural Prem. It's not only natural Sahajya, but it's a festival of Sahajya. A Sahajya festival, Utsav. Sahajya Prem festival, a festival of natural love. This is the real thing. This verse, the subject of this verse, it describes Radha Madhava's prema and seva and how divine love will protect the sadhaka from asajja prema, unnatural prema. There's prema for the body and prema for the atma prema and deha prema. So you can make your choice. Love your body, I love my body, people say that. I am my body, I love my body. So that's nice, where you can love your Atma and love Krishna, Supreme Atma, Sarvabhutatmana. So I read the translation already. So the first point he discusses is about Sahaja Prema, Anantas Bhavaji Maharaj. So because he ends his prayer three or four verses before, he was praying to Radharani for protection for himself, for herself, his female sadhaka. Here he's praying, Sripad is praying for the protection of every bhakta, every devotee. So Anantas comments on that point of the verse, patu wa is plural, which means everybody. So please protect everyone. How are you going to protect everyone? Because what everyone's being victimized, what's attacking everyone is unnatural love. The search for unnatural love is attacking everyone. So when you're getting attacked or assaulted, you need protection. So this unnatural love can only be protected from that by receiving Sahaja Prema. Radha Krishna Sahaja Prema, natural love for Radha Krishna. So he's praying for that. He wants a benediction, everyone in the world. Everyone in the world become a Sahajya. I bless the whole world become Sahajya. Everyone get Sahaja Prema. I'm on record, internet. Hey, everyone get Sahaja Prema for Radha Krishna. Vamatu. Fatafat, Jaldi. So he says, Sripad, by this prayer and this blessing of others, shows how his heart is melting with compassion for the people of the world. But at the same time, he's most bliss. He's praying on one side, but the other side, he's most blissfully absorbed in Ramana's premrath. This is how to live life. Live life for the benefit of people in this world, and live life for the benefit of yourself. Personal bhajan and compassion of others. It says there's a common theme in Gaudiya Vaishnavas which has no shastric reference point, but it's called Sarvani, Lokvichar, Sarvani. It says, Jiva Doya, Vaishnava Seva. Namruchi Vaishnava Seva. Show compassion to others by giving them love and knowledge, wisdom. Transcendental knowledge and transcendental love. That's where you show daya and compassion. And serve the Vaishnavas in any way you can. And then you get, by doing that, Srinamprabhu will be very pleased and give you a taste for his lotus feet, Nam Ruchi. Because you often say, ask the question, I'm chanting for 95 years. Now, I first asked the question, do I wish you're chanting for 10 years? Because I've been preaching since 1975. So they're asking after 10 years, all my senior godbrothers, how do you get a taste? Then after 30 years, they ask, how do you get a taste? So after 99 years, so here's the answer. Give love and serve others and serve others by giving love and serve Vaishnavas by seva and by proper attitude and proper mentality and treatment. Then you'll get ruchi, guaranteed. So he's on one side, he's thinking about others, about compassion work, karuna work, aldarya vichar, benefit, helping others, giving to others. But that's part of his bhajan life. But the most part of his bhajan, he's blissfully absorbed in meditating around Krishna's praying leelas. This is the way to do bhajan. Do something for others, do 10% for others and 90% for yourself. This is how to get success in bhajan, according to the Goswamis, according to Prabhupada and the Saraswati. He's absorbed in Radha Madhava's Prem Ras Utsav. It's Sahaja Prem Utsav. It's a festival of love. So in a festival, in a love festival, Radha and Krishna, what do you have? You have loving exchanges, intimate exchanges. You have laughter. You have joking. You have food. You have music. You have dancing. All these things. So in Bhakti Prem, Bhakti Bhav and Prem, you also have all these features of intimate loving exchanges and dancing and singing and taking wonderful Mahaprasadam and sharing loving sentiments with one another. Same here, same there. So he says this festival of love is natural. Everyone wants happiness, everyone wants love. And love and happiness are the key features of a festival. Key feature, the true lakshana of an utsav is prem and sukya, love and happiness. When they were sitting in front of Haridas Thakur's kutir on the Puri beach, Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu asked Rupa Goswami, can you give us a definition of Sahaja Prem? So being a Sahaja is described by Rupa Goswami, how to attain Sahaja Prem. I really like this word. It's really nice. So you dug the bottom of chapter 5, verse 4, it's the last act, verse act 5. It's kind of the conclusion of Siddhanta, Priyojana Tattva, the final points he wants to make about that, the end about Radha and Krishna. he caught his own play, a long sense reverse, and in there he describes Prima Sarasi Kasya. Translation by Advaitadasji from Holland. When the lover is praised, he reacts in a neutral way, but inside he feels pain. When the lover is blasphemed, he takes it as jokes. If he's chastised, ridiculed, or blasphemed, or offended, he laughs it off. Ah, oh, that's a good one. Tell me another, make another offense, make me laugh more. You make one good offense, you make one good Vaishnava rod, make two or three, I'll laugh more and more. The joke's on you, we have an expression in America, the joke's on you. You think you're making a joke of me, you're making a fool of me by criticizing me, but the real one laughs. His laugh lasts. So the last laugh is Krishna, and he laughs forever when he sees Vaishnava making offensive. Actually, he doesn't laugh, he cries. He doesn't like it. He feels sorry for the Vaishnava. But anyway, he's saying that. This is Rupa Goswami, so we have to, must be much internal meaning to this. The Sanskrit obviously has unlimited meanings and different ideas. That's a very superficial explanation I gave. But he says, when he's praised, he's painful. When he's blaspheming, this is the lover. Nindapi, it's Nindapi, he said that. Chitasi dati vyatam Nindapi pramad. Ninda means offense. He takes it as a joke and is very happy. Taking negative thing as a positive thing. Taking a cloudy day as a sunny day. Taking Kerala juice and thinking it's mango juice. It's just the opposite. Faults of the beloved don't diminish his love. And the beloved's qualities do not increase the love of the lover. Such are the pastimes of Sahaja Prem. These are all, we kind of understand these things with our material mind and hearts, but it's on a much higher level, which is only perceivable depending on the degree of bhava that's arisen or manifested, not arisen, but bhava that's manifested in our heart by descent of mercy and descent of bhava. When transcendental emotions and descend into the heart, this is a high, very high level of understanding. The Vidagda Mahava is about the love of Radha and Krishna, not mundane lovers of this world. You know, lovers react. It's all about Radha and Krishna, how they react. In other words, when Radha praises Krishna, he feels pain. When he's blaspheming, what it means by Ninda blaspheming, I don't really know. Because we see in Radha Krishna Ganda Shivika, I don't think the word is ninda, I can look it up there in the Sanskrit. But Radha Krishna Ganda Shivika, Rupa Goswami describes a whole group of sakis, whole group of older sakis, their nitya seva to Krishna is what? Chastising him. There's even a name, they're called Bhartsana sakis or something, Bhartsana. Bhartsana, that means criticizing. Gully, they're experts eating gully language, dirty words and criticizing Krishna. And Krishna likes that more than the prayers from the Rig Veda. Rig Veda, very melodic, beautiful, sweet sounding Sanskrit verses to glorify Vishnu. But that's the analogy of Goswami. He said, oh, nectar. You're a cheater, you're a lumpite, you're disloyal. So I think they were saying, my idea is that when lovers, Nindavi makes offense, just chastise them. Radharani sometimes called Krishna in Vyakasvandri, she calls Krishna Dhritendra. Dhritendra means you're the injurer, you're the lord, you're the king of cheaters. That's true. It's not really chastisement, but it sounds pretty heavy. Call it your lover comes to you with a straw between his teeth, begging forgiveness for running with Chandrali all night. It's a little hard to get over that one. So Rarai really finds a fault. You're a cheater. What do you mean? Look in the mirror, man. The proof is all over your face. Hey, Manji, ring a mirror. No, thanks. Don't embarrass me. I believe you. But I'm not angry with you. I don't take offense. So I think the first one that said that phrase is Krishna. I don't take offense. If Radharani makes some called so-called offense, Krishna, I don't take offense. Oh, Maharaj, oh, Dasi, oh, Krishna Das, please forgive me my offense. Oh, it's okay. Koi Vadne, I don't take any offenses. I don't take any offense. No offense. Relax. Keep cool. No tension. So Krishna, this is what he's saying. Such are the pastimes of Sahaja Prem. The Sahaja Prem Utsa, I love that term. Sahaja Prem Utsa, festival of Sahaja Prem. Festival of natural love. That's so appealing to me, I don't know why, but...
Because you're sad.
Yeah, birds of a feather flock together. That's true. But now, part of it is, I grew up in the country, I was born on a farm place, and I was always in nature, running around the forest and stuff. And so I really like what we call natural way of life. I don't know about cities. I joined this kind of living in cities all the time. San Francisco, LA, Baltimore, New York, Delhi, Bombay, everywhere, crazy places. So that's part of it, as far as samskara from birth and growth. So that's what we hear about the difference between material love and spiritual love. Oh, I don't think you read that part. This second part. Oh, we're way over time. Where's the drummer? I don't know, the drummer is
here.
I get lost here. We're way over time, 15 minutes over. Okay, we'll continue with verse 103 tomorrow. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Okay, let's get on. This thing fell off. There it is.
Turn up.